If you will, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And while you're turning there, I want to share with you, and I debated all day and this week how I was going to phrase this, either a statement or a promise made in the book of James. And I'm going to call it a promise. And that's this. James says that we are to confess our sins one to another and pray for one another. And then he says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We have been dealing, or started dealing last week, with the instruments of a servant, and two of them that are primary, prayer, the other being the Word of God. And we're looking at the necessity of keeping our instruments sharp. And tonight I want to deal with another aspect of prayer that James addresses when he says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And that's a good thing, isn't it? Anyone here say, I pray because I have nothing better to do? When we go to prayer, we go to prayer because we want to accomplish something. In fact, it would be really great if we accomplished much. And therefore, if that's the case, James says it requires an effectual, fervent prayer. Effectual and fervent are two English adjectives. However, the Greek New Testament has one word that is translated by effectual, fervent. Not only is it one word that English divides into two, the one word isn't an adjective, it's a verb. A verb in a participial form, which can therefore be used as an adjective. And the verb there that's translated effectual, fervent is the verb energeo. And you can hear our English word energy in it. If you want a real stiff translation of the Greek word, the energized prayer or the energetic prayer of a righteous man avails much. What is energetic prayer? What is effectual, fervent prayer? Well, the fervency has the idea of energy being worked out over a period of time or continuously, or you stay at it until it's accomplished. But the effectual thing, simply this, a prayer that works. A prayer that I'm going to say tonight is a purposeful prayer. We are to pray with purpose. Suppose you were to ask me, Pastor, what are you going to do tomorrow? And I gave you one of two responses. Response number one is, I am going to wake up. I'm going to have breakfast. I'm going to have a devotional time. I'm going to work on the church's website, which is something that I do every Monday morning. I am going to go to the bank. I have errands to run in Lower Borough. After that, I'm going to have lunch. I'm going to have a nap. I have to take the car in for service tomorrow. I'm going to eat supper. I'm going to fall asleep in my recliner and then go to bed. Or, I say to you, I don't know. Which response do you think would be more descriptive of a person who gets things done? Why? And if I say, I don't know, you know what I'll get done? Nothing. Well, yeah, that's another. Maybe I should have just summarized it by saying, whatever my wife wants me to do. That's a good one. There you go. Nothing. If we expect God to do a lot, I think our prayers need to be precise, purposed descriptive, to the point. Now let me be once again clear. Prayers are not effective because we use the right words. As I stated last week, Hebrews chapter 4 says we can come boldly, which means with freedom of expression. We can just say, God, here's the thing that I need. Don't have to use King James language. You don't have to have a specific order of things or so. But prayer has to have some purpose to it. Look at the prayer here, teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6. Beginning at verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, or standing in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Now this is not a prohibition against public prayer. Jesus himself prayed in a public setting. What he is saying here is found in the very beginning. Don't pray with the purpose of being seen by people, of saying all the right things, and people say, "Oh boy, can he really pray?" If you want to pray, get alone with God, is what he's saying here. And you can do that in a public setting. Secondly, verse 7, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye need of before ye ask him." Here are these people over and over and over and over and over and over and over again saying the same thing because they don't know if their God hears them. By the way, do you know where the phrase "knock on wood" comes from? Knock on wood is a heathen's attempt at prayer. In some of the various cultures that believe that the gods existed in the trees. And consequently, in order to wake up the gods in the trees, you knocked on wood. Therefore, if you're asking something to come to pass or not come to pass, and you say "knock on wood," that's to get the gods' attention. That's the source of that. That wasn't in my notes tonight. It's not down here, but you get that one free. But that's the idea here of getting God's attention. God already knows what you want. There's two prohibitions of prayer or types of prayer. But then, in verse 9, he says, "After this manner, therefore, pray." Now, notice he doesn't say in verse 9, "after these words." It says, "after this manner." What's given here, which is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, which I think is a misnomer, it's the Lord's pattern of prayer. Notice the pattern that's set out before here. "Our Father, which art in heaven," as compared to somewhere else, "hallowed be thy name," thy thingamajob, you know, something along those lines. Whatever you want to do, do. No, "thy kingdom come." "Thy will," well, try and get some of it done. No, "thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Give us today something, our daily bread. Not just any bread, our daily bread. "Forgive us some things." No, "forgive us our debts as we forgive others." "Lead us not into temptation." The prayer is purposed. It's not a general, "God bless the missionaries." Well, why don't we pray prayers like "God bless the missionaries"? Why is it necessary to pray purposely? Well, just follow along my order of reasoning here. Look once again at verse 8. It says here at the end, "what things you have need of, God already knows." Drop on down to verse 32. "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." Well, if God already knows what needs we have, why do we bother Him even praying at all? Isn't that a waste of time? No? Well, He already knows. Are we filling Him in on something that He doesn't know? Well, the simple answer to the question is, God commanded us to pray. And that's sufficient in and of itself, but that doesn't really help us out, does it? It is true that God already knows what we need. And I kind of smile sometimes when I hear people praying, Lord, poor Joe over here had an accident just the other day. And all I can do is picture God in heaven going, oh, wow, I missed that one. How'd that get by me? And Lord, he's not doing very well. Oh, man, I'm glad you shared that with me. He already knows that. Do we need to tell him those things? Well, no. We don't need to necessarily tell him those things in that he already knows. But when we pray, even though God already knows, we recognize the limitations of our knowledge. We recognize the limitations of our ability. And we recognize just how God is infinite in both of those circumstances. Lord, here is something that I cannot do. I don't know the specifics about it. I don't know the details. I don't know all this and that. I don't have the resources to accomplish this. I don't have the energy. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the fortitude. But you do. Consequently, we lay hold on God for something that we can't do. And there's good reason to do that, because we can't. If the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, then when we recognize how what little that we can do, God is able to say, watch how much I can. And consequently, according to Colossians chapter 4 in verse 2, he says that once we pray, we are to watch for those things. When I pray, believing, I trust God is going to do what is necessary to be done. And that keeps me in an expectant attitude, looking to see God display His glory. The outcome of that, according to the next verse, is that we give thanksgiving to God for what He has done. Well, if we don't pray specifically, God bless the missionaries. How do we know if God's done that? What does blessing the missionaries mean? God, do something. How do we know if He's done something? If we pray specifically, purposely, and we say, God, here's an area of finances that I need help with. Here's a person who's sick that needs a touch from you. Here's an area that I don't understand and I need wisdom in. And you get the wisdom. Well, then you've seen what God has done. And the consequence of that is we give thanks, which is something that's really missing in our world today. People are growing up with the attitude of they deserve everything. And unfortunately, I'm seeing, especially in younger people, a lot of thanklessness. And when we fail to give God thanks, what we are doing is robbing Him of the glory that He deserves. Why do we pray when God already knows? Because it gives us opportunity to know Him better and to glorify Him as He deserves. What's the limitations of prayer? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to pray purposely? There's a promise in 1 John chapter 5 that says if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we have the petitions that we desire of Him. God answers prayer according to His will. We need to pray according to His will. Prayer does not instruct God on what to do. But prayer allows God to instruct us in what He wants done. If I am to pray in God's will, then I have to ascertain God's will. Well, how do we do that? How do we know if I'm praying in God's will? Well, I hear a lot of people say, in order to discern God's will, I've prayed about it and I've gotten a peace in my heart about that. Well, that's wonderful. I've gotten a peace in my heart about a number of different things that I've prayed about, and it's turned out they were self-generated pieces. Turned out it was never God's will. My wife can tell you, not long after we went off to Bible college, we found out that Andrew was coming along. And when we went off to Bible college, I had a Plymouth Horizon, which is basically a four-seater car. John at the time was only about a year old, so we could put Christy and Matt in the back, and in the hump in the middle of the back seat, we could put a car seat. Of course, they weren't like car seats that we have now. But we could squeeze the three kids in there, Carol and I in the front, and that was sufficient. But when we found out Andrew was coming along, we knew that that car wasn't going to work. And for some time, I had been interested in a Volkswagen Vanagon. Yeah, laugh now. I don't know why I was interested in a Volkswagen Vanagon, but I had been interested in a Volkswagen Vanagon for over a year. And the local Volkswagen dealer had a used one. And I said, that's what I want. And we prayed about it. And I really had a peace about that car. I spent more time bent over the back of that car, of course it's a rear engine, looking into the engine compartment and trying to figure out what went wrong, than I spent driving the thing. It was a piece of junk. It was a calamity. I don't think it was ever God's will for us to have that car, unless it was to teach us some lessons. The will of God is not found primarily in a perceived peace. It is found in a declared statement. The will of God is found primarily within the principles of this book. And it's the principles of this book that then generate a peace. Now, am I saying you shouldn't pray about things? Obviously, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, the first thing in ascertaining the will of God is to come to the Word of God. I can pray all I want about my finances and have a peace about robbing the bank, but I'll have probably 20 years to think about it in confinement. Prayer does not instruct God on what to do. Prayer allows God to instruct us on what He wants done. Prayer does not instruct God on when to do it. God has His timetable, and as I've said many times before, the when of God's will is just as important as the what of God's will. Prayer does not instruct God on how to do things. Lord, I know what you want done, and here's how I'm going to do it for you. Lord, let me show you what's best. Prayer does not instruct God on to whom His will should be accomplished. I was looking at one of Paul's prayers, and he said, pray that God would open up a door of witness for us, that we might be able to preach the gospel. I'm saying, wait a minute, Paul. Scripture says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What are you looking for? Open doors of opportunity. Well, Ecclesiastes also says there's a time to speak and a time to be quiet. Acts chapter 16, Paul was looking for a place to preach the gospel. And the Spirit was sovereignly closing doors. I don't want you to preach here. I don't want you to preach here. I don't want you to preach here. Finally, he got a vision of a man in Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And Paul says, when they saw that thing, we assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us to preach to them. You know, there are times when we can be evangelizing out of the will of God, when we're speaking to the wrong people at the wrong time. We need to be praying about those things. Look once again at Matthew chapter 6 and this model for prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. On the 23rd of May, 2018. Oh, there you go, God. I've given you a date. No, there's no date here. We are simply to pray that the kingdom is to come in God's time. Thy will be done. Lord, here's how it should be done. Oh, wait a minute. On earth as it is in heaven, God says, here's how my will be accomplished according to my dictates. In heaven, God says to the angels, go do this. And guess what the angels do? They go and do it. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, there's a time frame involved in that. God's promised to provide on a daily basis that which we need. He hasn't promised to give tomorrow's blessings today. Tomorrow's blessings will come tomorrow. Today's blessings come today. Forgive us our debts in the manner in which we forgive others. That brings responsibility on. And consequently, it causes me to change my behavior, and I can no longer be withholding of forgiveness because I'm constantly in need of it from God. Purposeful prayer does not dictate to God, but allows God to dictate to us. When God says, this is what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it, when I'm going to do it, with whom I'm going to do it, makes it kind of easy to look to see where His accomplishment is. And when we look in the right places to see the accomplishment of God, therefore it's easy to give thanksgiving. And when we give thanksgiving, God is glorified. Much is accomplished. But when we just pray generically, I don't know, not much gets done. God is not glorified. Suppose you were the master of a house. You had a bunch of servants working for you. And you go to the servants and you say to the one servant, what are you going to do today? And the servant says, whatever you have for me to do. I see you have a list here of things that need to get done. I'm going to set myself to taking care of these in order that they're there. You go to the next one and you say, what are you going to do today? Oh, I don't know. Which servant are you going to be happy with? First one. The servant who has specificity to what they're going to do. So it is with the child of God. The child of God who is praying specifically, purposely, don't get a lot done. The master of the house is going to be quite pleased. Father, may we not be concerned with the words of our prayers, but may the words of our prayers declare specifically the burdens of our heart, that the will of God be accomplished in our lives. And that the God of our lives be glorified. To that end, we specifically pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good week.